This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Malaysia is an attractive destination for foreign investors. This is reflected in investments exceeding 70 billion ringgit last year. And a large part of what keeps the engine of growth going is the country's 13 million strong workforce. So how does our relatively competitive economy rate in terms of labour rights? Just last week, 11 former employees of British American Tobacco were charged for causing public unrest. They are picketing their employer for unfair dismissal. Latifah Koya is the counsel for the workers and is also the co-founder for Lawyers for Liberty.
Basically, the workers and the union members of the British American Tobacco workers, they were picketing for the last 4 days until Thursday, when they were arrested. Basically, they were picketing because there's a trade dispute that's ongoing, including the dismissal of at least 8 workers. So what happened was there's an ongoing trade dispute. And then on the last day, on the Thursday, they were then picked up about 2:30 by the police and brought to the Sea Park police station. And they were investigated under Section 30 for Minor Offences Act. And then the next day on Friday, they were charged for Section 13, which is disturbing peace or excessive noise. What they were doing, basically, they were picketing. And picketing is allowed under the Industrial Relations Act. This is their right as workers. And that is under Section 40, where they are allowed to picket. So for the police to actually interfere and arrest them, that is in complete breach of their rights. As workers, to picket over an issue or dispute. And what they did was basically they were picketing outside their employer's office. That area is practically a whole industrial area, industrial zone. And there is not noticed any residential area there. And the complaint is made by the police themselves. So to suggest that there is excessive noise and for the police to make the complaint themselves and then make the arrest is complete breach of their rights.
Is this an isolated incident? Well, last year, the Railwaymen Union of Malaya, also known as RUM, took part in a picket demanding the resignation of the KTMB president, citing concerns with occupational safety. Hundreds of those involved were either given a show cause letter, suspended, or terminated altogether. Among those terminated is RUM's president, Abdul Razak Mat Hassan.
Yang kena buang kerja dulu tu 97 orang, 96 dah dipulihkan lah. Tinggal saya seorang yang masih belum dipulihkan kerana tidak bersetuju dengan permohonan maaf selama 3 bulan hari-hari dalam Facebook dan blog Suara Ram.
The suspended workers have since been given a conditional reinstatement.
Yang pulih itu bersyarat, maknanya 96 orang itu telah dipulih lah, maknanya dah bekerja semula lah. Tetapi syarat dia adalah salah. Kerana meletakkan kesatuan sekerja ataupun mereka yang terlibat tidak boleh melakukan tindakan perusahaan ataupun perkara-perkara yang melibatkan aktiviti-aktiviti kesatuan. Ianya adalah satu kesalahan kerana hak kebebasan bersuara seperti mana yang termaktub dalam Seksyen 4 dan Seksyen 5 jelas. Ianya sebahagian daripada aktiviti-aktiviti kesatuan sekerja. Dan tindakan dia juga meletakkan saya sebagai presiden untuk letakkan syarat-syarat demikian juga adalah tidak betul, salah.
It's been 8 months and not only the demands were not met, the picketeers were also punished for what is essentially their right to unionize. Yin Shalong is the executive director of the think tank Institute Rakyat. We asked for an overview of the country's trade union movement.
Our national union body, the Malaysian Trade Union Congress, or MTUC, isn't even a union. It's actually registered under the Societies Act. So therefore, according to the Industrial Relations Act, the MTUC cannot undertake collective bargaining and it can't even legally conduct a strike. But certain sectors, like electronics, the formation of national unions is basically banned. And that's basically a deal that's been cut between the foreign electronics manufacturers and the Malaysian government back in the 70s and 80s. As a sort of precondition for foreign investment coming into that sector. And there's quite well-documented instances of union busting going on in certain industries and the government not really stepping in to protect the workers. MAS is a good example. The recent struggle over who's going to get laid off or not has seen quite a few MAS union leaders being targeted with forms of disciplinary action, which may be unfair, and the government hasn't done much about this. So the situation for unions is quite weak, and the overall level of unionization is quite low. It's under 10%. I think the last figure I saw for like 2009 was about 7% or so of workers unionized.
While the World Economic Forum ranked Malaysia high among the most competitive nations, the International Trade Union Confederation considers us as one of the worst countries to work in due to poor labour practices. So, Xiaolong, what businesses are compromising on in order to keep costs low?
A major method in this form is by restricting the freedom of workers to associate and organise, primarily in unions. And the union basically permits an economically weak individual worker to increase their power via collective bargaining with their bosses, their industry as a whole, and the government. And so collective bargaining gives workers the negotiating power to push for better wages, working conditions, safety measures, and so forth. And it's a fundamental human right under Article 23 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And in fact, this sort of tripartite approach to workplace issues, where government mediates and jointly bargains along with business and labor, is what's recommended by the United Nations International Labor Organization, the ILO, of which Malaysia is a member. But even though Malaysia is an ILO member, it hasn't ratified ILO conventions on forced labor and the freedom of association, meaning that it doesn't take a strong stance on supporting the right to unionize or opposing modern slavery. So a government that favors business interests over workers will try and keep unions weak, controlled, if not ban them altogether. And Malaysia employs a variety of such methods to keep organized labor weak. And a divide and rule approach is used to isolate unions within a single company or an industry and prevent them from forming national unions, or preventing national unions combining into an overall confederation.
So can keeping up with international labour standards be good for businesses in the long run?
On the individual business basis, it doesn't always make sense for an individual business, right? It can make sense for a business in the sense if it wants to reduce the amount of conflict, but there's some businesses which have a business model which is very strongly based on exploitation, and there's quite a lot of them in Malaysia which basically profit off human trafficking and forced labour. And the question that we have to ask and the government has to ask is, you know, do we want these kinds of businesses forming part of the Malaysian economy, or should we move beyond them? So what's good for an individual business is not necessarily good for the country. Ultimately, the government's industrial policy needs to make a decision about that. And by industrial policy, I mean basically the government's plan for developing the industries in Malaysia and developing the economy. If we had stayed with, say, the old colonial model of labor-intensive mining, labor-intensive plantation work, farming, and so forth, then we'd probably be seeing a lot of exploitation still present in the country.
That was Yin Xiaolong, Executive Director for Institute Rakyat. And earlier, you were listening to Latifah Koya from Lawyers for Liberty and Abdul Razak Mat Hassan from the Railway Men Union of Malaya. I'm Asif Azuddin, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.